More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Eric Crawford's now.
Hey, he's on the phone. Pacome Dattier. Say it with me now, won't you? Pacome Dattier. So the Knicks have traded for Mikal Bridges, re-signed OG Anunoby, one of the fun names to say.
5 years, $212 million.
And Pacome Dattier. The Knicks still have one more pick to make. I don't imagine it'll amount to much. It'll be wild. You know what would be wild? Funky wild. Funky, funkadelic wild.
They got Bronny.
If they drafted Bronny as a means to try and pry LeBron finally to New York when he's 47 years old. There's LeBron filling the lane on the break. Eh? Hey, Bron, let's run three. Three high. Eh? Three high. What? Oh, God. He's got that thing, that the cone on his ear, you know, that they start right. Hearing like in the 20s. What? What is that?
I can't believe this guy's averaging 20 and 10 still.
He's getting MVP votes. This is insane.
He is getting MVP votes. Unbelievable. Oh, my. All right. He's already locked in. Locked and loaded is Eric Crawford. He joins us right now. Eric, how are you, Smush? What's going on?
I'm good. I just passed the studio in my car.
Oh, you did. Should have honked. We'd have waved. You said hello.
I looked in there. I couldn't tell. Yeah, all the security around the place. I couldn't.
It's Thursday.
See in the window hardly.
It's no pants Thursday. You didn't notice, Nick.
Yeah.
That's very good. Hey, let me ask you about the element of the fan base that this part of it is very important, the whole rivalry thing. And what do you make of Rick Pitino coming out now, going on KSR and talking about how he's given money to UK's football team? And you know, and he's, I guess, they're going to play there, I guess, next year on the 30-year anniversary of the championship. And so what do you make of that? Because obviously the U of L fans are feeling very slighted, but just a matter of all's forgiven. And he left Kentucky of his own volition, whereas here he got kind of pushed out the door. So he's still holding a grudge. That's what I suggested early. But what do you say about what's going on there?
Well, I think there's several things going on at once. And multiple things, in fact. First off, whoever is the guest host there of KSR, they had kind of, I don't know if there'd been a rift with him and Pitino, but they'd patched it up. So he's done a long deal with them, pardon my take, guys. And so the thing with Rick, I think you need to know, he doesn't really deal in terms of this show and connecting it with this. He just deals in terms of this guy. I talked to this guy or that guy. I don't think he was kind of, I don't know, maybe he was. Maybe he had in mind Kentucky Sports Radio and what all it means there. But I don't know that he necessarily was equating it with, you know, the way Louisville fans might equate KSR. But, I think it's a new start for him at Kentucky. And, you know, I don't think you can underplay. I mean, you understand it because you've been around him and I've been around him. And just how proud he is of his former guys in the profession and how much he goes out of his way to support them and always has. And, you know, to have Mark Pope at Kentucky, I mean, think about it. This is the second former Rick Pitino assistant to take over as head coach at University of Kentucky. It's a big thing. And so, it throws the doors of the program back open. He's now welcome there. He's more welcome there than he is at Louisville, probably. I don't know that he's not welcome at Louisville, but he knows that, the coach at Kentucky is a lifelong friend. And, so that's just how it is. And I don't know that I'd read anything to it about Louisville. I just think that, you know, the fact that Kentucky has kind of opened its arms back to him a little bit, I think that's much appreciated because that was a special time of his life. And you know, whatever happened at Louisville, that much is true.
He seems to have gone out of his way, though, really, to bridge the gap, which is fine. I mean, you don't want a guy coming on the show and acting like a jerk no matter what, you know, type of show he's joining. But, you know, he talked about how he really appreciates the Kentucky fans, and now he understands all these years later why they were so upset he took the Louisville job. That was a far cry from, I remember the first game that he played back in Rupp when he was here, and I interviewed him after the game, and I thought his eyes would have burst out of his head. He was so pissed off. So, time wounds all heels, as the joke goes. So maybe that's all it is, a matter of time has made things better. But it looks like he was a little above and beyond that. He looks like at least that part of his life, he's once nice buttoned up, nice and neat, and these are steps to do that.
Yeah. Well, and you may be right. I would say it does seem like he's above and beyond, but I would also counter with, is there anything that he's never not above and beyond on when he starts to do stuff like that?
That's true.
He's a master of overstatement. It's always this, you know, that's just how it is. But yeah, you may well be right. I can't tell you. I haven't talked to him about it, so I don't really know, but it is interesting, and it does keep the drink stirred around here, as they say. So
yep.
Whenever he talks about anything, even back here, I mean, it's his stated intention when he talks is to have people listen and talking about what he says, and he is very good at that.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's absolutely the truth. Speaking of hearing what people say, we haven't brought this up on the show yet, and I don't know if you guys saw this, and I'm curious if you have, Eric. My guess is you have, and I'd love to see your thoughts. Al Michaels is going to be part of the Summer Olympics while not being part of the Summer Olympics. The AI has taken, I guess, they enter in countless amounts of his voice from past broadcasts, and it can recreate his speech pattern and everything else. And so at the end of each night, he is going to be the voice you'll hear summarizing the day's activities, even though he's not going to be in Paris and he's not actually going to be doing it. Somebody's going to write a script, and the AI robot, makes Nick very nervous, is going
terrified.
To be
terrified, Eric.
Is going to be doing it, and it will sound just like him.
We are steps away from Skynet. Steps.
What do you make of that, Smush?
It's weird. Yeah, and you can already listen to samples of it. It's a little creepy, just knowing what it is. It's not really the first time. I know, like, there's a really good Anthony Bourdain documentary out there, and they used AI to kind of what they had little things that he had written or letters that he'd written, and they approximated his voice with it, and the family wasn't all that happy with that. I don't know why you need to do this. Why do you need to do this with Al Michaels' voice? Why not just have somebody else actually do a script and write it? What's
to be gained?
Retention? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know why you're doing that. Why we need? I mean, I know Al Michaels has he's a great voice and all that. But you know, the world changes. It's the 2024 Olympics. If Al Michaels doesn't want to be there and read the script or whatever, you don't want him there. Find somebody else, you know. Let's make new, you know, make a new voice. I don't understand.
You know, that's a great point.
The reasoning behind it.
Sometimes you can make a case for why you need, you know, robots or something else. You could say, well, there's no other way to do it, or it's certainly a more efficient way to do it. But your point is well taken. Even if, you know, whoever's writing this, somebody has to write this. I don't think the AI is going to write it themselves. Somebody has to write.
God, I hope not.
The copy.
It could, yeah.
Well, but they're not going to. If the machine generates it, it's not going to be very good. I mean, but, you know.
Yeah, AI still sounds AI-ish.
Yeah, it does. Somebody's going to write it, and then they got to enter it into this computer who then is going to generate in his voice. Why not? As you said, we did a whole series of games for a whole year from our live. I called about 8-10 games from my living room during the COVID thing. And that was, you know, on the rush, slapped together in a hurry because of the pandemic. Here, with enough time to plan, why not just send him the script and let him read it? If they don't want to send him there, let him read it from his living room. I mean, I don't understand that either. So,
yeah. I mean, if it was like, you know, I get it if you want to, like, do something with Vin Scully's voice or something, you know, because you can't have Vin Scully read, obviously, anymore. So, what do you do? I don't know. I don't know why you would do this.
That's a good point. Like, I'd like to see the ABBA show. I would like to see that. You know, there's a theater in London that has a show that's like seeing them in concert. They've got, what do they call the figures that are...
Madame Tussauds?
No, they're not wax figures. No, they move. It's done with...
Marionettes. No, yeah. I know what you're talking about, but I
just keep spitting out words that have nothing to do with watermelon.
That was close. The figures, like the, I don't know, shadow puppets.
I went to a museum that has, it's like if you look at it, it looks 3D. Yeah. It, like if you look at a mirror, it looks like there's something. That's,
oh, I know what you're talking about, but I have no idea what that's called.
Yes. I'll find it out by the end of the show because it's pissing me off. So anyway, we got that. Did you hear Kelsey's presser a few moments ago? Obviously you did, or I assume you did.
I was there, yes.
Oh, wow. Did you ask him any questions?
I did.
Oh, I didn't hear you ask a question. What'd you say?
I asked a question. Well, you know, and I would rather have asked him this, you know, months ago. But I'm just fascinated. It's not just with him, but with Mark Pope and all of these guys. You know, it used to be you recruited and you're getting freshmen and you're watching them play against other high school players. You finally get to see them play, and it's like, well, this guy's good. This guy's not as good. Whatever. With this teams. They got all this data. They've got all this video cataloged against college competition. They know what these guys are backwards, forwards from a basketball standpoint by the time they arrive on campus. And I'm just curious. Now all you want to see is, do they fit the way you thought they fit? And they don't know, of course, this early on. But my question was, how different is that you can see, you know, all these pieces that you were able to put together mathematically before they ever got here? What's it been like watching them in person, and does it look the way you thought it would look? And he kind of took it from there. So I'm fascinated at how building rosters is different now and how much data goes into it and what kind of science it is.
Well, I agree with you. I've thought about that same thing. I mean, it's one of those things that it sounds almost fun, like for a fan, because if you're in a fantasy league, that's what you do. You say, I'll take this guy and that guy, and you think you put a great team together, but you hit it right on the head. Until you really get into the, you know, the nooks and crannies of it, you don't really know their personalities until you've had a chance to really watch them at practice. You watch their body language. You watch how they interact with teammates. All those things make a hell of a difference, and I don't know if you can tell that from, you know, after the season's over and watching video, or even if you just see him in an individual workout. I'm not sure you get that. So your point's well taken. Yeah. How do you evaluate now? I don't know.
And it's like, you know, Mark Pope said about his team. He said, you know, you just want to get in there and make sure all the pieces fit. You know, the puzzle fits the way you thought it would when you put it together. The interesting, and Kelsey was good today. He said some good stuff. But I was more interested to hear the players that we've not talked to really at all. Chuck D. Epburn and Rain Smith and Devon Hadley talk, and they were all really good. I just get the feeling, you know, that Kelsey, I don't know if you remember going to camp when you were a kid, and you get there and the counselors are all like fired up and acting all hyper and all that, and you're like, these, you know, these jerks or whatever, you know, these guys are crazy. And,
right.
You know, you're too cool to go along with it, and you spend about 3 days in the middle of that, and pretty soon you're right there and bought in. And I think that's kind of what Louisville basketball is like right now. They're like, this guy's crazy. He's up, but he's up all the time. And that is probably who he really is. And guys were smiling about it and acting already bought into to his gospel of energy or whatever you want to call it.
You know, I asked Mark Story this earlier. I ask you the same question. Given the landscape of college sports the way it is now, and certainly nobody, I think, in their right mind looks at a Kentucky or a North Carolina, and I'll tell you why I brought up North Carolina in a moment, but and says, well, you know, they'll never have moments of glory again. No, nobody's suggesting that. The teams that are the quote-unquote blue bloods will certainly have their moments in the sun, you would think, again. But the days of the kind of dominance that went on, it just strikes me as, and the reason I brought up Carolina is because they're a perfect example. They go to the national championship game, bring back basically the whole roster, and then miss the tournament the next year. And I just think that the separation, there's always been a pretty fine line of separations between, you know, winning teams and losing teams. But the separation now between great teams and mediocre teams seems razor thin. And so fluid from one year to the next. Do you think there'll ever will be times of a dynasty? And somebody can point out, as Mark did, well, UConn is putting it together, and they may be again there again next year, so maybe that's true. But I just don't know if anybody will attain the kind of success that the Dean Smiths had, or Rick had, or Adolph Rupp had, certainly. And that may not be enough for fan bases of the quote-unquote blue blood programs. Are those days over, do you think?
Well, they're over for now. One big reason why, you know, it looks like Danny Hurley has figured something out. at UConn, and we think he might have figured something out at UConn. But, you know, we are in such a landscape that by the time he figures something out, the whole game is different again.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that there's any way, unless, you know, and UConn could be really good next year, and, you know, it'd be three straight, and then we'll be talking about, will anybody ever beat UConn again? But I think everything is changing so much that by the time you adjust, the game has already changed again. And it's tough. It's tough no matter what your program is or, you know, how good your players are that you know, what you're into. But, yeah, I think there'll be a dominant team here and there again. But I don't know. I mean, we don't know what college basketball is going to look like, you know, in 3 years, much less, you know, in 10 years. So I think until the game stabilizes, it's going to be hard for any one, you know, one program to spend a prolonged period at the very top.
You know what's interesting, though, Eric? Couldn't you make a case? I'm just throwing it out there, throwing spaghetti at the wall here, see if it sticks, that with the change of NIL now, you should be able maybe to keep teams together even more, because there's always really good players that were iffy NBA players, but they would want to explore the G League or something. They'll make more money staying wherever they're playing right now. I mean, so maybe there's motivation to stay. I mean, you're still going to have the great, great players that will be desirable to go to the NBA, but there's going to be really good players that might be better served to stick around longer. And so maybe then if you put a group of those guys together, you know, look at Carolina this past year. I mean, Baycott doesn't project as a great NBA player, so he had to come back. He's a pretty damn good college player. So I don't know, maybe that you put a group of guys like that together, and then you have a nice little 3-year window. What about that possibility?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Kentucky did that. I mean, Sheboy stayed. I mean, they were set, and it didn't work. So we, you know, and maybe they win that first round game, and it would have been different, or they beat Kansas State and get through to the Sweet 16 in his second year, and we'd be talking differently. But ideally, I mean, there are guys who are going to stay in college longer than they would have because they can make more, unless you're just a, you know, first round draft pick locked and you know what your salary slot is probably going to be. There's plenty of guys that can make more than, you know, staying in college, and that's going to help. But you can also make more a lot of times at another school.
That's
you know,
true.
The market is almost set up that
that's true.
You're always worth more to somebody else than the school you're at, unless it's a school like Kentucky that can afford to do, you know, to pay. So, I think there is going to be, when this all settles out, you know, and schools are paying players and getting them for multi-year deals and things like that, that you might be able to build in a little more stability than we're seeing right now, because right now there's none.
I think the answer is because the difference is between what's going on in college and the pros is the pros, they can't just leave after 1 year, most of them, because they sign multi-year deals. That's what college will take. That's the next step in college.
Yeah.
Is you want this kind of money, you better sign for 2 years or 3 years, and then we'll worry about it from there.
Well, and the school can do that. You know, when the school's offering a deal now, then they can set a deal like that, and you have a commitment, and there's maybe damages on the other end or whatever. And wait till school start trading players, then we'll see how that works.
Now you're talking. That's entertainment. Now you got entertainment, my friend. Now you got entertainment. All right, brother. Good talking to you. Take care of yourself. Thanks so much, E.
You too. Thanks.
All right. Eric Crawford with us here. And nice to have him join us as well. I started to tell you, because I want to finish, I don't like to, by the way, it's called a hologram. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that's what my buddy Travy texted me that. He also said that we got to check out the Cricket 24. Game for PlayStation 4.
Do they sell it here in the States?
I don't know.
Sometimes
international edition.
I think I can download 22 for free if I wanted to. And I thought about it.
Why wouldn't you? What's the downside? God,
I'm gonna do it.
Disappointed
now.
In you.
I'm gonna do it now.
The point I was making is the way, again, trying to always make it for people who have absolutely no knowledge of cricket. That one team bats, they take. It's called their innings, even though it's only one, it's plural, their innings. And they bat until they get 120 balls pitched to them, six balls in an over, 20 overs, or they make 10 outs. Everybody, you get one chance to make an out. You make an out, you're out, and you go through the whole lineup. There's 11 guys in the lineup. If 10 guys go out, you're done. Okay, so that's how it plays out. Usually, scores are between 150, 140 to 200, maybe a little above 200, depends on, like in the India Premier League, you'll see some 180s, 190s, a couple of 200s. So, you know, that's – and what happens is the team that bats first takes all their batters, and then the other team comes up and they try and beat that score. It's called a run chase when they're trying to exceed that score. Yesterday, South Africa, who hadn't lost a game, played Afghanistan. Afghanistan went through their whole lineup. Mm-hmm. They made 10 outs.
A lot, so they – wow.
And they only got through 11.5 overs.
Jeez.
They made all of their outs in 60 balls.
That's not very good.
And they scored 56 runs.
That is anemic.
That's like an NBA game, literally, of maybe 60 points. That's Jeez. About right. South Africa beat them in their ninth over. They didn't even get halfway through. They made one out. They took 8.5, which is eight overs of six balls, 48, mm-hmm. five more balls. So they had 53 balls, and they scored 60 runs, and the game was over.
Jeez.
So they absolutely killed them. Now, what's going on today, give you an idea. We'll give you an idea of the kinds of scores, like two really good teams. In the Super 8 roundup, India played Australia. India batted first and scored 205. Australia got to 181, which would have beaten a lot of teams, but not that game, so they lost. So that's what happened there. But so now today,
now, the 205 is that's the equivalent of like 130 in the NBA, maybe.
Maybe, yeah, maybe a little more even.
Wow,
that's pretty good. So here's what's going on today. India is in their 19th over. They have scored 148 runs. They made six outs, so they still have four plus six. They have 10 balls to go.
Okay.
So, you know, they'll see. Maybe they could – we'll see how aggressive their guys are. Usually the guys – it's like baseball. The guys at the bottom of the order are not your better hitters. So I don't know how aggressive they'll be. But they still got three outs they can go through, so they can afford to be a little more aggressive.
Take some hacks.
So England is the defending champions. I think they're going to have a good chance if they can – now it's up to 152. They just got a four. So they're obviously hitting –
a boundary.
Out. Yeah, a boundary. So we'll see. See how that plays out. It's South Africa. That'll be a great final no matter who it is, whether it's South Africa, England, or South Africa, India. But I picked South Africa before. We'll see if I saw them early, and they haven't lost yet. But
to put any action on
England,
it?
Not yet. England has found a way to rise to the occasion. It looked like they might have trouble getting out of the group stage. They really struggled. They got out of that. Then they won in the semifinal, the round of eight, the Super 8, and now they won – well, they're not winning yet, but we'll see if they can win the semifinal and get to the championship. So that's what's going on there. All right, so there's that. I thought he said you could find a sample of it. I guess he meant just in general.
Oh, no. There's
a sample of Al Michaels?
Yeah.
I want to hear that. I haven't seen that.
I had it pulled up. Give me one second. Al Michaels AI. This is an example of it. Here, this is from Ari Myrov. Here's a video of what an AI recreation of Al Michaels looks and sounds like. So let's take a listen.
Hi, Kelly. Welcome to your daily Olympic recap, your personal rundown of yesterday's most thrilling Olympic moments. Since you're a swimming fan, let's head right to the pool. Team USA secured a stunning victory in the men's 4x100-meter medley relay, smashing the world record. Over at the diving venue, Krista Palmer showcased resilience and skill, overcoming past knee surgeries to qualify for the women's springboard final. Meanwhile, a top rate for Canada's Pamela Ware as a failed final dive scored zero, ending her bid for the final. Check out these highlights from yesterday's action.
That's, you know, what's scary is that I don't panic as much as you do, because what I would worry about, other than the fact that people are going to lose their jobs, which is a little sad, but then you'll find another job. That's, my grandfather used to deliver ice, you know, and then he came up with refrigerators. He had to find another way to make a living. That happens. So that's what goes on. But like, you know, somebody would call, like today, I had to do a verification at ESPN.
Right.
They called my boss, one of my supervisors there, to confirm that it was me. Well, suppose I got AI. That's where you go, but there'll be something else. There will be some other way where you will have verification. That will no longer, you won't be able to do that. You'll have to do other things to do it, to make sure that who you're talking to is really who you're talking to. And that'll be a whole nother industry. That's what it'll come down to. I mean, that's, you know.
That's terrifying. The deep fake stuff with the, you know, they superimpose like your face on things. Yeah. So it looks like, well, like it's like
somebody
said, hey, it looks like Tulio and I are robbing a bank. You know, like that's
here's
fun.
Here's
Nick,
somebody
you're not supposed to talk about that.
Somebody sent me AI of me talking.
Dear God.
I'm gifted. I'm just flopping over with talent. I can sing.
Is that how I sound right here?
Sometimes.
Okay. I was super excited. I thought it was going to be like an AI.
Kind of wanted to hear Bobby V AI.
That was good, though. That was a lot better.
Does Bobby V AI just like, is he just eating? He's like, let me just tell you. You got to let your cake break. Well, but damn it, Nick. Why can't you be more like Jamie? Hi, Julio. Like, nailed it.
All right. It's a V Steaks, ladies and gentlemen. But as importantly, you'll know what time it is in just a matter of a second here, because we have a way of letting you know without letting you know, and that is this one here by telling you, oh, wait a minute, that's not what I was looking for at all.
What are you looking for?
I wanted this right here. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's time. It's time for another Universal Windows Direct Live read. You can't beat that. It is hot out there, and it's probably only going to get hotter. I don't know how much hotter it could get than it is right now, but it's definitely warm, and you don't want to be paying your money to air condition the outside of your home. And the way to make sure that your energy bills are manageable and your home is comfortable year-round is to check out all new windows from our friends at Universal Windows Direct. Super spacer technology keeps the edge of the window seal longer. It makes the windows last longer, up to 5 times longer than other window systems. Your home will be warmer in the winter, cooler in the summer, quieter all year round. That is the magic of Universal Windows Direct. Plus, they back it up with a true lifetime warranty as long as you own your home and a 20-year warranty to the next homeowner. Call Universal Windows Direct today, 502-487-5099. And for every 2 windows you buy, you get 2 free. Buy 4, get 4. Buy 20, get 20. There's no limit. Plus 0%. You heard me. 0% financing for 36 months. That's 3 years. Update your windows with Universal Windows Direct. That means extra protection from the elements, consistent temperature in your home, increased energy efficiency, reduced heating and cooling costs, and a quieter, more comfortable home. What's not to like about any of that? 502-487-5099. Schedule a free in-home estimate. For every 2 windows you buy, get the next 2 free. No limit. 0% financing for 3 years. Restrictions apply. Tell them I told you to call. You'll get an additional $250 off your project. For the last windows you'll ever need, go to uwd.com. Like me, you'll be saying, I love my windows. Does
Thank
it sound
you, John,
the same
Joey.
If I just say it and swing the microphone back and forth?
Why not try it?
I love.
No, you gotta
shake
yourself. You gotta shake yourself.
Ooh, makes me a little dizzy.
Yeah, a little bit.
Right. We got a V Steaks. You want the field? Would you like to know who's in this particular race?
We'd love to. Big league haircuts, V Steaks, 5-0 Tuesdays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, $5 off a haircut ticket of 2 or more, 2 area locations, Taylorsville Road, Bardstown Road. Look good, play hard, big league haircuts.
The Belmont Heat, Belmont Meat, not Heat, Belmont Meat has begun in New York. Obviously, they would normally be running at Belmont Park, but now they're running at Aqueduct since Belmont is undergoing a massive, gargantuan renovation. But I don't think we have enough time to give you that field. So let's go to Horseshoe, Indianapolis. You want to do that? Let's do that, see what kind of a race we have there. Oh, we got a very strong favorite again. Do we want to do that? I think we do. Let's do it anyway. We're going to Horseshoe, Indianapolis, and I'm going to put my reading glasses on so I can tell you what it says.
Nice.
What's so funny?
Janet just said something funny in the group chat.
She's always funny. Sally Bally is number one at 5-1. Deshaun Parker rides 5-1. Sally Bally. Number two is Don't Touch, 19-1 with Evan Roman in the irons. Number three is Jenny Lowe, 9-1 with Alberto Burgos in the saddle. Sweet Daydream, number four at 6-1 with Santo Sanjur. 124 pounds, if you want to know what he's carrying. I don't know why you'd want to know that, but in case you do, now you do. Number five is the favorite. Nobody loves me. Nobody loves me. Aww. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go eat worms.
Is that the song?
Never heard that song?
No.
Nobody Loves Me is the even money favorite, written by Yarmory Correa.
I can go for some worms. Some gummy worms?
Oh.
Gummy worms, man.
Got me very nervous. Somebody calls again. Number six is Aunt. What in the world is that?
Jemima.
Aunt Joe Business. Aunt Joe Business.
Ain't Joe Business.
No, but it's A-U-N-T.
Yeah. Aunt Your Business?
Ain't Joe Business would be A-I-N-T.
Right, right.
This is Aunt Joe Business.
Aunt Joe Business.
It's a highly refined slang speaker. It's Aunt Joe Business.
How many aunts can you think of that are famous? Aunt B, Aunt Jemima, Auntie Ann's.
Auntie Ann's is the
not an aunt, but place. Uncle Ben.
Thank you, Tanner.
That's who she's married to. Thanks, Tanner. Just different. Cousin Brucey, what are you doing, all relatives here? How many other aunts are there? Aunt Jemima, Auntie Ann's, Aunt B.
I got three on my mom's side.
Auntie M.
Auntie M.
I never saw it, but that's Wizard of Oz, right?
I guess.
I thought you knew it.
Oh, Aunt May from Peter Parker.
That's true.
Marissa Tomei. Paul.
She plays an aunt in that?
Oh, geez. Yeah. Marissa Tomei ages like fine wine.
She's very funny in...
My cousin Vinny. And absolutely beautiful.
Aunt Joe Business. Yeah, that's how you're supposed to be saying it, but I prefer it was Aunt Joe Business. I'm not rooting for that one now. 8-1. And the outside horse in this race, which is going 6 furlongs on a fast track, is Moro Maestro with Orlando Mojica at 9-2.
That one sounds ethnic.
9-2. So that's your field. Here's what the track master and his computer AI-generated predictions say. Six. Aunt Your Business is a contender given the recent 60 Equibase speed figure. Currently 7-1, so you get two haircuts if he comes in. If it's a he, is it he or she? I don't know. These are maiden claimers, so we're down to the kind of the bottom of the barrel here, but that's fun. Number one is Sally Bally. Looks good for the conditions of this race. Has solid recent speed figures. One of the strongest speed figures of the field in her last contest. Oh, so these are girl horses, which is a oxymoron. Horses are males.
Really?
I think so. Thought I read that. Isn't that right?
No. I thought it was like colts.
No. Colts are males. And
yeah, that's what I'm saying. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like if you said like girl colts, that would make sense. But horses, I think, is gender neutral.
Depends on how he identifies.
Be like saying humans.
I think he identifies.
Aunt Edwards, says our man Brian Hall.
What?
He's doing Ant-Man.
Oh.
Yeah, Ant-Man, yeah.
Ant-Man.
Doesn't have to be aunt. It could be aunt.
Todd Ant.
There you go.
Number four, Sweet Daydream is the third choice. Respectable shot today with the second time around of LASIK. So the Trackmaster likes 6-1-4. The betting public right now has the 5. How about that? The betting public's overwhelming favorite is not in the Trackmaster's top 3, so we might have ourselves an entertaining race here. Nobody Loves Me, number 5, is the favorite.
I'm going to go eat worms.
Sally Bally, number 1, 9-2. Don't Touch, number 2, 13-1. Jenny Lowe, number 3, 12-1. Number 4, Sweet Daydream, 5-1.
Sweet Daydream.
That's not a song. Number 5, Nobody Loves Me, 6-5. Number 6, Aunt Your Business, 8-1. And number 7 is Moro Maestro, 9-2. Our little dog climbed up on the bed with us last night, as he does, and then got hiccups.
Oh, he got hiccups?
Yeah,
I've
never seen him do that before. It's kind of interesting. Yeah, just a little yippy. Hip. Yeah, so I tried to scare him. That didn't work very well.
How'd you scare him? He doesn't scare very easily.
Yes, he does.
He does?
Yeah. Texter says, don't look this one up. Not suitable for the air.
What?
What did somebody send you? Did somebody send you this one?
No, I don't.
What
don't
was
know
the one
this?
You just said your friend sent you?
Aunt Edwards.
Okay, because this is one that's not suitable for work.
Who is it?
Not good. If it's not suitable for work, why would I read it? Good. Yes, thank you.
That's what it said?
Yeah.
I don't get it. Well, if it involves... Oh, God, you could say peg on the air. It's not that big a deal.
I know, but...
It's not...
Oh, God, Nick. God.
Can you think of some things that would not be appropriate for the air that the word itself might not in and of itself be inappropriate? Like, I don't know, blow?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what this is.
Yeah, but I still don't get it.
Type it in your phone and then you'll go, oh.
I know what the term peg means.
He's going down.
He's tripling
down. Going down.
He's
tripling. He's absolutely
saying. He's holding your
hand
like, Dad, let's go.
Going down.
No.
I realize this is the Titanic. I realize we just hit an iceberg. Damn it, I'm not getting off. I am not getting off.
I paid good money for this ticket. I'm staying on the boat.
When is dinner being served? When do they bring dinner out, for God's sake?
Aunt Peg.
Oh, here we go. Oh, God.
Also known as.
Take a break.
Also known as Juliet Anderson.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Be a part of the show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
Just see the plates go around.
Got a lot of plates in the air today? A lot of balls in the air. Have you ever seen, by the way,
a grown man naked? Oh, I'm sorry.
Great airplane reference there. But no.
Do you like Gladiator movies?
You and Zachy C were quoting that movie yesterday in the break room. No, it's very, very cool. It's a perspective of there's a woman juggling, but the camera is.
I've seen it above her.
Above her, yeah. Isn't it cool looking?
It is. It's very cool looking. The juggling looks cooler from that angle than from the ground.
Yeah, like it looks really, really neat. Yeah.
All right, we need more entries, damn it. We need more entries for the V Stakes. So. It's only a minute to post. You can win free haircuts. What are you waiting for goodness sake?
437-9680.
You can win two UPS free haircuts if anybody except the 5 or 7 wins. It could be a competitive race. Sally Bally is number 1, 4-1. Number 2 is Don't Touch at 10-1. Number 3 is Jenny Lowe at 21-1. 4, Sweet Daydream, 9-2. Number 5 is Nobody Loves Me, 8-5. Number 6 is Ant Your Business, is 7-1. And number 7 is Moro Maestro, now at 4-1. So you'll get two haircuts for all the horses that win, except for 1 and 5. 1, Sally Bally's down to 3-1. This is a damn entertaining
Sally
race.
Bally sounds like a... Like one of those games you would play with, you know, Sally Miss Bally. Mary, Mac, all dressed in black, you know, the little hand slappy games, you know. Sure. I always sucked at those because I got no fine motor skills. Okay.
All right, we got a few moments, so let's make one for Sally Bally.
Sally Bally? Yeah. Sally Bally, she lived in an alley.
And hey, we got a good start. Okay,
Sally
keep
Bally
going.
Lived in an alley. And then gambled using Bally.
And moved to the valley.
And moved to the valley. Wow. Where she turned gay. I don't know. I'm just trying to. I didn't know how to land the plane.
Okay.
Not that one turns gay. They, you know, born that way, obviously. Sure. But, you know.
It means happy too.
Yeah, it means happy too. There you go. Yeah. Thank you, Tanner.
All right. The Trackmaster likes 6-1-4 as his number 6. His number 1 pick is 8-1. Wow. Is there money to be made in this race, do you think? We're almost at post time here. Going 6 furlongs. Do you take a chance on Ain't Your Business?
I kind of like that. Ain't Your Business. Well, it's the first one, Sweet Daydream. No,
sweet
I like
Sally
Sweet
Bally.
Sweet. Wait, I thought there was a Sweet Daydream.
There is. Hang on.
No, so there's two sweets. There's Sweet Sally Bally and there's Sweet
there's
Daydream.
No sweet. You're making crap up.
I'm not making
Let's
crap
Let's confuse
up.
The listeners so they don't pick any horses and we have nobody who plays. The number 1 is Sally Bally. Number 4 is Sweet Daydream.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's what I said, I think.
You said there's two. There's no other sweet.
Well, because you said Sweet Sally Bally.
I never
you screwed
said,
me up. You said
never
sweet,
said Sweet Sally Bally.
You said Sweet
never,
Sally Bally.
Never
Go to
sweet,
the video.
Never said Sweet Sally Bally. I don't believe I did. I might have because I was busy trying to figure out how to
Did
bet.
Did you just
$2
try to make a call up to Toronto? Go to the video.
Go to the video. Video review of the V show.
Yeah.
Oh, Up and Adam, Adam Ant. That's a good one. In terms of great ants.
Sally Bally from the Valley needed points, so they took a tally. What does that mean?
Oh, they're Ooh, doing the little
there
song.
There you go.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, but what's a tally?
I could score.
Oh, yeah. I always assume somebody's sending me some slang for either drugs or pornography, and I don't know what the words
well,
mean.
Well, there's also, yeah, no.
Yeah, so, you know,
you type that into Urban Dictionary, then it's like, yeah, wow.
She took a tally, you know what I'm talking about. Hey, you go to
Urban Dictionary, and your jaw just drops, yes, and you're like, oh, my goodness.
What? She took a tally?
Aunt Ethel, Aunt Edna, other great aunts.
Oh, Edna. From Incredibles?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Good one.
That's a good one.
What was the name? Oh, no, that was her mother. I was going to say Bewitched in Dora. 10 remarkable aunts. The 10 best aunts in TV.
Are any of them pretty?
Aunt Becky from Full House. Lori nice. Loughlin.
Yeah, pretty.
Yeah.
Aunt Viv from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Nice.
Pretty.
Aunt Jackie from Roseanne, the Connors.
Never saw it.
Aunt Claire from Modern Family.
Oh, yeah.
I like her.
Ooh, yeah.
Claire, Julie Bowen.
Julie Bowen.
Oh, Sophia
pretty.
Vergara.
Aunt Gloria. Also from
Modern
Family.
Yeah, there we go.
Aunt Lydia, The Handmaid's Tale.
Never really watched that.
Oh, my girlfriend and my roommate just started watching it. It is wild.
Is it?
Yeah. I walked in. I was like, hey, what is this? Like, this is kind of nuts.
Aunt Esther from Sanford and Son.
Nice.
Ooh, Aunt Martha show. On Leave It to Beaver. Aunt Clara on Bewitched. I knew there was an aunt on Bewitched. She could never get her spells right.
Right.
She would never get the things right. And then Aunt Chippy on Jimmy Kimmel Live. She's the real-life aunt of Jimmy Kimmel. She frequently appears on the show. A smoker with a raspy voice and a penchant for spewing expletives. She's hilarious to watch, especially when she gets annoyed with Jimmy.
Frank Gore Jr.'s aunt. Because there's the clip of him when he like wins like the Sun Belt Championship or some random bowl game, and they're freaking out, and he's Auntie Chill.
That's awesome.
All right, we are close. You must be real close because your TV's ahead of mine, and I've got about four horses already in the gate. So we're gonna go back. Get your bets in right now. It's not really a bet. You're not. It doesn't cost you anything. V-Stakes 1-7. Take a chance. Off they
and
go.
They're off, even start. Don't Touch, racing out with Nobody Loves Me, Sweet Daydream, and the White Blinkers has now forged in front for Santo Sanjor. Sweet Daydream took the lead from Don't Touch, Nobody Loves Me in the blue cap, and nearest the inside is Sally Bally and the leading quartet as they go toward the half-mile pole. Then nearest the inside, Jenny Lowe, joined on the outside by Moro Maestro, and in between horses, Aunt Joe Business. They enter the far turn. The leader here is Sweet Daydream. The quarter 23.08 seconds. Sweet Daydream leads with 3 furlongs to go. Tracked by Nobody Loves Me, who's inching in for Yarmarie Correa. Don't Touch in third. Sally Bally running in fourth. Moro Maestro in the red cap is a wide fifth. And then we trail back to Jenny Lowe and Aunt Joe Business. As these maiden fillies and mares turn for home, it is Nobody Loves Me who swept ahead into the stretch. Half mile, 46.85 seconds. Nobody Loves Me. Nearest the inside, Sweet Daydream. Battles on as they come down toward the final 16th together. And then on the outside, Don't Touch with a late bid. And toward the inside, Sally Bally. Here comes Don't Touch for Evan Roman. Don't Touch, powered past. Don't Touch, won by a length and a half. Sally Bally gained second. Third's a photo between Sweet Daydream, who battled Nobody Loves Me.
So Aunt Your Business was nowhere to be heard from, so I didn't even get a tickle for my $2.
Not a tickle.
But Don't Touch wins it at 7-1, so if anybody took the two.
Did anyone bump it?
Bump it?
Like coming out of the gate, and he was like, hey, Don't Touch.
Oh, very funny.
It wasn't very funny.
Number two, we had nobody pick number two. I'm almost sure we had nobody pick number
two. I don't see any twos.
Nope. No twos, so it'll be a carryover. We'll have another race tomorrow. And see if you can win a bunch of haircuts.
A lot of ants coming in.
Aunt B from Andy Griffith was included in the ant thing. Yeah. Auntie Mame, old movie. Yeah, that's a good one. I like that. That's fair enough. So the winner is Don't Touch, number two. And that is going to get nobody a free haircut here because nobody won. So we'll
a lot of fours and sevens.
Yeah, a lot of fours and sevens. A six in there. There's a couple of fives. Everything but the two. Everything but the two.
Why did Chuck E. Cheese come up?
Because we were talking about the ABBA concert and the mech, the technology.
Oh, the animatronics?
Yeah, and he was doing Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The ABBA show's a little bit more sophisticated than the...
Yeah, but does it have Pasquale on the drums?
No, it doesn't.
I don't think so.
That's fair enough.
Oh, a two just came in.
Too late. Two is too late for you there. So there's that. All right, we talked about the draft quite a bit earlier in the show. If you're just joining us, talked about Rick Pitino's comments about KSR and about...
And why he...
much he loves Kentucky again now. He's got moo-moos for Kentucky.
Why he hates Louisville.
Moo. He didn't say he hated Louisville. Let's not put
I know. I'm just kidding. I do kind of hope that we were mentioning this. Like, you know, maybe one of his peeps. Like, our guy like Vinny Goodtimes could, you know, maybe get in Rick's ear and be like, hey, you might want to throw a little love towards, you know, like...
What makes you think Vinny's got love for Louisville?
I don't know. He brings us focus. So
it's his job now. He loves us. Doesn't mean he's any more pleased with the way things turned out at Louisville than Rick is.
That's a good point.
We don't know. Hey, check out ESPN Bet, by the way. ESPN Bet's a fantastic website. And I think I'm going to take a flyer today on Aaron Judge.
Okay. For what?
Hit a home run.
A home run. Yep. Okay.
I nice. I feel he's due for one. He's been on fire. And let's see. Let me see what kind of odds I can get on that. Just something in my gut. They're playing the Toronto Blue Jays in Toronto, and let's see what kind of odds you can get for Judgy Boy. Player props, home run, Aaron Judge would be home run plus 200. Not bad. Pretty good payday for the leading home run hitter in the game. I think we'll throw a shekel down on that. Want to parlay that with something?
We need a Santa Claus bet.
Well, let's see what,
get a little West Coast action, maybe.
Let's see what Cody Brown has to say. He's been on, I'll tell you, for a guy, you know, baseball's not the most popular game to bet, but I'll tell you what, you see what he's doing, you might change your opinion because they're playing every damn day, and he is killing it. He really is. I think he's had five best bets in a row.
Nice. Well, while baseball. You're pulling that up, I want to thank Adam and his staff for dropping off Wing Zone Catering to the ESPN Louisville Studios. Perfect for your next tailgate party. 10 boneless wings, wedges for just $9.99. Order online, wingzone.com. 3 area locations in Metro Louisville. Perfect for your 4th of July party. Get some of that good-ass chicken. That's not in the read. I just added it myself. But it was very, very tasty today. Thanks to Adam and his staff for dropping off that Wing Zone.
Last night.
What do we got?
Oh, GCT. Good chicken talk.
yeah, good chicken
Henderson,
talk. GCT.
Last night was his best bet. Over 1.5 total bases. That means his last 8 MLB best bets, he's cashed 7. That's pretty strong.
I don't know how people do that. Like, I always screw something up. It's like, all right.
Yeah,
well, see what he does about baseball is he keeps it simple. His best bet is not parlays. He's just giving you
straight up shots. Straight.
And so now the one for today is Trey Turner over 1.5 total bases. Facing the struggling Marlins and Trevor Rogers. Rogers is 1-8 with an almost 5 ERA, and the splits are in favor of Turner. He's bets 338 against left-handed pitchers. He has a hit in 8 of his last 10 games. He's got multiple hits in 4 of those. Phillies have an expected total of 5.29 runs. Turner should get 4 to 5 plate appearances. All right. He's going to now take place as the second part of my parlay. That's how I'm viewing that, my friends. So let's see. I'm going to have a hard time topping the bobblehead parlay.
The bobblehead parlay was pretty strong.
All right, let's take Judge, and we'll put him in with Trey Turner. So let's do that. So let's go back. And
I want to bet this too, but I know I will ruin it.
Going to wreck it for the rest
of us? I'll ruin it. Yeah, you know what? I might as well ruin it for the rest of you guys.
Why would you do that? It's not nice.
I just want to have fun. I just want to join in the fun.
Yes, you should join in the fun. Do it at ESPN Bets, and you'll have lots of fun. So he's facing the struggling Marlins, right? I think it's what he said, right? Yeah. So let's go see if we can get total bases here for Trey. See what kind
of. Does he have anything for Copa? Any soccer stuff?
Copa Cabana? It's the hottest spot north of Havana.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's see what we got.
Here we go. We're going to do an odds boost. I'm just going to do
Trey Turner over 1.5 is minus 140. So we're going to add that to the parlay, and that would make a lovely little parlay. You'd get pretty good odds on it. You'd get plus 414. Digging that. Take a chance. Boom. Bang. All right. So wish us all luck, my friends. Maybe we can get. That's where we got our big win the other day. Let's see if we can back it up. So we'll see. There you go. All right. I think we're just about out of time because Strebel stands there and taps his toe angrily.
Oh, he's got things to talk about.
Don't anybody kid you. See if the second round of the draft does have some interest. What happens to little baby LeBron? What happens to the UK guys that are still waiting out there?
Justin Edwards
Justin
and company.
Edwards and Antonio Reeves.
And Antonio Reeves, and, yes.
Okay, we don't want to answer that, so please go away.
Yeah, doesn't that start in like an hour?
Yeah, 4 o'clock.
I feel like that's so weird, though, for like TV
is,
time.
Yeah, that is kind of random. It's not like anywhere near prime time.
Well, because what do they have tonight?
Baseball and
oh yeah.
Well, they don't. I mean, it's not like the first round. It's kind of a good live program filler.
It's Bronny.
But I don't think they want to take prime time away from their usual products. So.
What's Dion got today?
I don't get it.
Dion.
Who? It's a prime time.
Oh, prime. Oh, that was good. That was good.
Son of a gun. Too quick for me.
That was fast.
I was sitting. I thought you were going to bring a breaking ball. He brought the high heater in. I was just standing there looking at it on the side of the road. Ernie Harwell used to have a great saying about that when you took a third strike.
What?
Something like that. Stood there standing like a mailbox on the side of the road.
I like that. That's good.
See you tomorrow.